We are overcomers through you. We thank you, Father, for the position you've put us in. Thank you for victory here tonight. We worship you. We magnify your name. We bless you always in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Praise his name forevermore. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, please open them to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Did we ever fix the speaker in the hallway? Okay, because I was going to say if he couldn't hear me out there, he could open that door. But John chapter 14 and verse 15. This is part four of our series that we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I've been saying before we get into this that this is one of those things where I can think of my own life, but I can also think of other people that I've had the privilege of pastoring and helping, where the learning to cooperate, the recognition of what's in you and the learning to cooperate with the Holy Ghost has put people in a different position in life, has gotten them into things, gotten them to receive things that otherwise they wouldn't have. And so when a Christian becomes skillful with this, when a Christian becomes, where they become learned on this and skilled on this, it can't help but change your life. And so I'm so thrilled about this message here tonight. And before we get into it, let's go ahead and pray. Father, help us tonight, Lord, to say what needs to be said, to do what you want to do. Father, you are God. You are Lord of this service. You are Lord of my life. And so I yield to you. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I've gone with the leading and what you've put on my heart. I've studied. I've set myself aside. I've prayed. I've gotten ready the best I know how. But Father, just be God here tonight. Lord, if we're to go a different direction, if there's utterance, if there's different things, Father, that I didn't study, that you need said, we are open to it all. And Father, we thank you. Bullseyes will be hit. And Father, I thank you that the people that truly take this seriously, there's things waiting for them. There's blessings ahead for them, Father, that they never could have even imagined that were there. There's doors that need to be opened, divine connections that will only come through the leading of the Holy Ghost. So thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for this series. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, these are our intro scriptures. We won't spend a whole lot of time. Once you start getting further into a series, it's hard to do a lot of review. But in verse 15 of John 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." And then he tells us who it is. Verse 17, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he will dwell with you and shall be in you." And so we're talking about that Spirit of truth. Who are we talking about? The Holy Ghost. And we mentioned, it's just so worth noting to get people to recognize this and to understand this. You know, a lot of times in my life, things don't come from the first time I heard them. You know, I'd be like, I heard that over and over again, and bam, it all of a sudden it popped, you know. And the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as being not less than God. The Holy Spirit not being a lower level of God. No, he's telling us we have God with us and God in us. Praise God. And so he's there for a reason. He's there for a purpose. Praise the Lord. If you jump over to John 16 in verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7, Jesus kind of reiterates the same thing, saying, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient," we know that means advantageous or profitable, "that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." And remember, he's with us and in us. And then in verse 13, it kind of gives us an idea of what this is there for. Why did God put himself, the Spirit of himself, inside of us? "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come," look at that, "he will guide you into all truth." His desire is to guide and lead you. Praise God. And you say, well, is that good places? Well, the Bible says he leads us where? Beside the still waters, right? Leads us to the green pastures. And so he says here that he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. And so not only is he ever guiding us, but he also is wanting to reveal things. I mentioned this, I think it was Wednesday night, that God showed me about pastoring South Dayton. It would have been 13 months before it ever manifested. And he showed me that in a cherry orchard. I was picking up cherry brush, and he showed me that. And I'll tell you what, getting the location and being able to go into that town and to be able to release my faith, not even just to mention the natural things you can try to take care of looking for a building and getting to know people and going around talking to people. It was a great advantage to know a year, 13 months ahead of time, where we were going to pastor, to start praying, making power available, natural things. Well, how was that revealed? By the Holy Spirit, praise God. And, you know, I knew how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, and it was a great blessing and a great benefit. And so God put the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to benefit us, to help us. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, and this is the one that is so alarming to me, you know, for the majority of the body of Christ. When I say these things, no way am I putting Family Church on a pedestal, because Family Church isn't the be-all, the end-all on churches. And you know, I always say there is no perfect church. And if there is a perfect church that you find, just make sure you don't go there. You're going to screw the whole thing up, you know. And so, but I do know this, that we are taught well from the people that have gone before us and the people that we look to, the Brother Hagins, the Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, Lester Summerall. And so we do get taught well, and I have come from some places, and so have you. And it's amazing to me how much this topic falls at the feet of ignorance in the body of Christ. And when you're ignorant, the Bible says it can hurt you. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, it says, "But it is written, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." So praise God, he has prepared things for us. I'll tell you, it's pretty darn cool when each person, God knows what makes your motor go, you know, what excites you, what's thrilling to you, because what excites me in life is not the same thing as what excites you, but God knows, and he puts things in front of my path. And I was just today partaking of something, without going into details, of something that he specifically did for me. And I was just overwhelmed that, wow, Father, you did this just for me. And he wants to do that for everybody, you know. And it says here that, but God has, verse 10, revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. So Jesus told us that in those verses, John 14, John 16. But why have we been given the Spirit of God? He tells us right here, that we might know. Now, do you remember that revelation that I got? And I imagine most people already had gotten it. I'm a little slower to the party at times. But remember when the Bible talked about Mary saying, "I haven't known a man"? Talking about, you know, having a baby. She's going to have a baby. And she said, how can I have a baby? I've not known a man. Well, we know what that means. It means to join, two becoming one, right? And then Jesus said what? In John 8:32, he said, if you know the truth. It's the same word. What does it mean? If you become one with that truth, right? Whatever the word says, that's who you are. That's what belongs to you. Well, when it says here that we, the Spirit of God has been given us, that we can know the things freely given us, it means so that we can become one with them. So we can actually experience them. But notice this, that without the leading of the Spirit, or without the Spirit's interaction, there are things that will go undone in people's lives. And I use the example, a couple examples, personal ones, you know, in ministry, of how that couple in South Dayton, they had invested a lot of money in things where the books said were good, the news said were good, the experts said were good. And they lost quite a bit of money, you know. They wanted to fund the kingdom of God. They wanted to be a blessing. But they just kind of did things their own way. Went with the natural, went with what they felt like, went with what the professionals, so to speak, were saying. And they lost a great deal of money. And they said, you know, this ought not to be so. If we have God on the inside of us and he's supposed to show us, he's supposed to tell us and guide us, God would never guide you into poverty. God would never guide you into a wrong relationship. God would never lead you into lack. God would never lead you into something that's going to hurt your life. Just like I would never do that to my children, right? And same for you. And so what did they do? They learned. They got before God. They repented and they said, Father, we want to be a blessing, but we know you know what investments to make. You know where to put the money. And so they learn how to follow the Holy Ghost and learn how to get quiet and hear from the Holy Spirit. And then what happened? They put their money on something that the natural said, that's foolish. The pros said, no. All the things in the TV said, you don't want to invest in that. And God said, that's where you need to invest. And they invested a large amount of money, and they hit it big, you know, and paid off their debts, family's debt, blessed the church. But here's the thing about that. They walked into something that God, from the foundation of the world, already had prepared for them. But how did they know that? How did they become one with that? They got to know the Holy Ghost. You know, I think about the whole sprinkler system in South Dayton. You know, it was getting down to the wire, like time where everything would have to been on hold because, you know, they were able to hold off on the sprinkler system because the ceilings are still opened up, the walls are still opened up. But once they're getting ready to close that up, you know, it's not good to go back in and tear those off. And so, you know, they told us that we need a sprinkler system. The building inspector, the architects, and also the contractors all said, this is what the courts are saying. The courts told us that. Well, it was getting down to the wire, and the price kept going up and up. It started at like $40,000, then it got up to like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, and then it was more because of where they were going to have to tap into the water source and yada, yada, whatever. And I needed to make a decision. Do we believe God for the money, or do we believe God that they change the law, which seemed naturally in my head like the hardest thing to get the courts to all of a sudden change a law for us, you know? We had sent in petitions and they denied them and said, no, this is the code, even though it was unreasonable. But that's what we had to do to keep going forward for them to give us a building permit. And I just think about how with the time coming down, you know, they're going to need money to proceed. And if the money didn't show up, if God had it a certain way, well, then it's going to be hard for my faith to work for that money to just show up. And what's going to end up happening is I'm going to have to do it the natural route. And what's the natural route? I'm going to have to go take a loan out. I'm going to have to borrow money. And I could get the money that way, but the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And if I didn't know how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and hear the Holy Spirit's voice and know what's being said on the inside, I would have had to figure out how to get the money somehow. And if it's not just showing up, I got to go to the bank. I got to go to the natural route. And that's not wrong as long as the Holy Ghost is leading you that way. And so thankfully said, no, you don't need to do that. The law will change. And I heard that clearly. And I'm so thankful that the whole time in the beginning of the world, God never wanted that paid by a loan. God never wanted that part of the building and that part of to pay, be paid that way and to have to go into more debt. No, he had a plan, but it took somebody hearing from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Excuse me. Hallelujah. And so we're learning to follow the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. Excuse me. And I know what you're thinking. Pastor Mike, don't you cover your mouth when you cough? Well, not when you're that far away, I don't. I don't know what the law is on floating particles, but it seemed like we were far enough away, so I apologize. Hallelujah. We cast those down, those particles down in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. I'm excited about where we're going tonight, but I just need to set the groundwork. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 says this. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul, your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've told you this and mentioned this, that we're a three-part being, aren't we? And all three parts of what make us up as a human being are trying to lead us. Our flesh and our emotions, all in one, are trying to lead us. Our thoughts are trying to lead us, but also our spirit is trying to lead us. And we have the answer. If you flip back to go to Proverbs 20 and verse 27. Proverbs 20, 27. Let's start there. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 27. Well, my emotions can be loud. My feelings can be loud. My mind sure is loud, but God's not leading that way. And how many of you know, until I got skilled, that's how I was led. Pros and cons lists, right? What does the checkbook say? What feels good to my flesh, right? Weren't we all led those in those ways? That's dangerous. Because in Proverbs 20 and 27, what's it say? The spirit of man. So you have a spirit. Remember, your whole spirit, soul, body. It's nice saying, the spirit of man, not the mind of man, which would be the soul, not the flesh or the body of man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Well, back then they used candles, right? They didn't have flashlights. They didn't have electricity. What was the candle for? To guide you. When you can't see, now I can see. So you don't stumble. You go into the right room. You get the right things out of the drawer. You get the right. It just helped you. And so God is saying the way I'm leading mankind or guiding mankind is through their spirit. Amen? So now we're taking it a step further tonight. And I'm going to show you and help you to become more skillful with this. I'll tell you, this kind of stuff, when I have violated it, has messed me up. And this kind of stuff I'm preaching tonight, when I have heeded it and obeyed it, it has spared me and moved me into more, praise God. Because emotions are loud, thoughts are loud, circumstances certainly are loud, things you see can be loud, but the Holy Spirit has your best interest. So here we are, we're led by the Spirit. So what does that mean? How are we led by our spirit? We'll go to Romans 8:14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Verse 14 and 16 are our answer of how God's doing it. And that's where we're heading into tonight to look at in the time we have here tonight. But look what it says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, in a way, it seems to contradict what Proverbs 20 says. Because now it's saying the Spirit of God, and in Proverbs 20:27, what did it say? The Spirit of man. So, well, we know the Bible doesn't contradict itself, but look what it says. I'm leading by the Spirit of God, but wait, I thought we were led by the Spirit of man. Well, you got to read it all. Verse 16 says this. The Spirit, which is talking about the Spirit of God, who's in you, with you, remember, should say himself. Jesus called him a him, not an it. The Spirit himself, notice this, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And so tonight what we're talking about in going forward and learning how are we led by the Spirit, we're going to be talking about the inward witness tonight. That inward witness. What's the inward witness? That inward man of the Spirit and the Spirit of God in there and the communication that's going on and how to discern and decipher how God and when God and what God is leading you to do or where to go. And so here it says in verse 14, many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So there's a communication going on. And then if we'll jump back to John 16 in verse 13, it'll tell you, and I probably should have looked at this first, but John 16 and verse 13 kind of clues us in as to what's happening inside the spirit realm. You know, the Holy Ghost is a spirit. Your spirit's a spirit. It's not a natural thing. It's not like you could have even an X-ray machine and see the Spirit of God or see the Holy Ghost in there or see your own spirit. But if you were to be shown discerning of spirits and God lets you look in, you could see the Holy Spirit and you could see by the discerning of spirits your spirit man in there. But what you'd see in there is what it says here. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of himself. But notice this. But whatever he, the Spirit of God, shall hear, he shall speak. Well, first of all, who's the Spirit of God hearing from? Headquarters. And when it says that he shall speak, who's he speaking to? Your spirit. The Holy Ghost beareth witness with our spirit. So what's happening, or what should happen, when God has offered us the opportunity to bring everything before him, this is what I'm talking about. God knows every financial decision you need to make. God knows every decision for children, for relationships, for business, for jobs. If we will take the time and cooperate and learn to hear from him, we'll never miss it ever again. Why? God, we already saw this in the very first message of this series. God is a know-it-all. He literally is a know-it-all, and he sees everything. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing all of a sudden is like, oh, I wouldn't have had them go that way if I would have known that was behind that door. He knows it's behind the door. Oh, I wouldn't have had him got involved in that if I knew the economy was going to do this. He already knows what the economy is going to do. It is so beneficial and I'm trying to encourage people to become people that follow the Holy Spirit. Learn how to do this. It will spare you, it will save you, and it will bless you, praise God. But there's what's happening. So when you have a decision or you have something you don't know, should I buy that car? Should I get in a relationship with that person? Is that the job for me? What about that house? Well, what about this situation that's going on with my kids that I can't figure out? Well, God has the answer. And how is he leading? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Ghost listens up and gets the answer from the know-it-all. The know-it-all tells the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Ghost, what? Speaks to our spirit or beareth witness. And then we have the job then to extract that priceless and precious information. Praise God. But that's how he is leading you, through the inward witness. Amen. He is not leading you. I don't care how many goosebumps, how many tears you cry. He's not leading you through feelings. He's not leading you through circumstances, good or bad. He's not leading you through thoughts. He's not leading you, amen, through money. He's not leading you through convenience. And how many of us could all say, at some point or another, as a born-again Christian, we've made decisions, life-changing, huge decisions, based on our feelings, based on what we thought, based on what was convenient to the checkbook, based on what was circumstances were telling us. And that's like flipping a coin and playing lottery with your life. Because there are decisions that can set you back, that can put you in a place financially, that can hurt your life. It's just the truth. It's just the truth, praise God. And so we don't want to do that. When you have the know-it-all, who's not only the know-it-all, but he's willing to show you. He says, that's what I'm here to do. It's to our advantage and to our good to figure this out, to become more in tune with the Holy Ghost. You know, another way that God is not leading you, and it's so important, and this, I'll tell you, Christians are carnal. There was a minister that used to come, he doesn't come anymore, I won't say his name, need to get into all this, not say anything good or bad, just doesn't come anymore, but he'd have the longest services in the church, you know, but he also, he would have the biggest crowds of all the guest ministers. But you know what else would happen? He'd lay hands on people, the same people, multiple times in a service. Well, why did he get such bigger crowds? Because that stuff appealed to people's flesh. People like getting the answer from the preacher. People don't want to take time to pray, spend time with God. I want the preacher just to say what I need to do. Someone lay hands on me and fix it for me. We're thankful for when those things happen. And there were moves of God, and there was things that happened. Don't misunderstand. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying that. But it's like when other ministers come in, they weren't less. They weren't lesser quality. They were still of God, but they wouldn't get as big crowds. Why? Because you just have to sit there and listen to a message. You didn't get all the stuff that made your flesh excited about it. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the truth. And Christians, you know, as a whole, are very carnal. And so spiritual things of getting quiet, hearing from God, meditating on the word, putting yourself in a position to hear from God are not things that tickle your flesh. They actually rub your flesh the wrong way. They rub your mind the wrong way. Your mind is not naturally geared to go the way of the Spirit. That's why you got to renew it. Your body or your flesh or your emotions are not naturally geared to go that way. Hallelujah, they're not. And so, you know, so many times we want these things that appease to our mind and our flesh, and the spiritual things, our flesh will kick and scream. You know, little kids are very smart. I do not let my children manipulate me because I'm not worried about being best buddies with my kids. I'm also not worried about hurting their feelings. Not out of mean, but you do something wrong and you get in trouble. I don't care that your feelings are hurt. Don't do the wrong thing, right? I love you and I care about you, but I've watched over the years when, especially you'd be in stores, you know, it was just the other day. Where the heck was I the other day? I was watching a mom with her son. He's probably 3-4 years old. And, I was in Erie. That's where I was. And I was watching this, just observing. I was like, oh, come here. come here. He's just standing there, digging in, putting, you know, line in the sand. Oh, come here. Come on. Oh, come on. And then he's not coming, not moving. She don't want to make a scene. Her flesh, you know, don't want to make a scene. So all of a sudden I start hearing all the bribes coming out to get him to come to her. And I'm thinking, what in the world? How backwards is this? If my kids aren't going to listen to me, I'm going to tell you this. I don't mean by abuse. I'm not even saying in a physical way. My kids' life is not going to be very enjoyable for them until they decide to listen to me. It's just not. I'll take away every single thing you have. I don't care. Or how does a kid get attention? What did they do? Kick and scream, lay on the floor in Walmart. Ah! Why? What mom and dad or grandparent or anybody wants to be? That person. Or at restaurants, they're not getting their own way. Ah! I'll do anything to shut that up, right? To just get it. Well, what do they learn? That when they get loud in their flesh, they get what they want. Well, it's the same thing when we are trying to be spiritual. Our flesh will, I'm hungry. I'm tired. You got a million things to do. Thoughts going through my head. Why? Kicking and screaming. Why? To get your attention, to then appease, because it doesn't feel good when your flesh is telling you how hungry you are and how tired you are. And so then what do? We give into it. And that's dangerous because that's not where God's leading. In those areas, God's not leading there. And where I got to start on this with Christians being carnal is we don't want to do and go through the steps that it takes to receive what God has offered us. And so what do we look for? We want a word from a preacher. We want a vision. We want a dream. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. All these things, visions, dreams, even words through preachers, the devil can manipulate and be a puppet master to those things. He can. Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you how to be safe with these things, because does God lead by visions at times? He does. Does God lead by dreams at times? Yes. Does God lead by prophecy at times or words? Absolutely. But the number one way that God's going to lead a Christian is through the inward witness. And when you get a leading, and this is what I always hear. I've talked to so many Christians, I just roll my eyes in my head. I don't do it to their face. Because a lot of those people, they don't want to receive and get their help anyway, so it's like I can't say it to them anyways. And they'll tell me something, and it'll sit so wrong with me about some ministry they're in. I love when people tell me about their ministry. Well, what ministry are you talking about? What 501c3? What church are you talking about that you're pastoring? What do you mean you're and they're talking about God has put me in the ministry. Now, we all have a private ministry with family and friends. Don't misunderstand me, but they're not talking that way. And they'll say, so-and-so prophesied this over me. And they'll say, prophet so-and-so was in town. And apostle so-and-so was in town and prophesied over me. And they gave me a word. And I say, and I'll think to myself, if they're willing to be corrected, what I'd say is, okay, but what did God say about that word? Who gives a rip what your pastor prophesies over you if, number one, it doesn't line up with the Bible, throw it out. And even if it lines up with the Bible, if it doesn't bear witness with your own spirit, this is how cults get started, ladies and gentlemen. This is how people get off. I was telling a story. This is a true story. I preached at another church in Jamestown one time, and a dear, precious woman came up to me. She's in her late 60s, early 70s, she had to be, and just by guessing, you know. And she said to me, she said, I preached on faith. She's like, oh, this was so good, you know, it really helped me to keep believing for what God has told me. I said, well, what was it? You know, she said, 25 years ago, God told me through a preacher that I was going to marry this man. He's married already, that I'm going to marry him. Now, John proved out, you know, and John, when I said creeper, I was kidding, but he followed the Holy Spirit, right? He knew, okay, it's time to back off. 25 years she's talking to me. She's still waiting. Never checked, well, what did God say? Well, this preacher is this and that, and this preacher hears from heaven, and this preacher. And I thought, oh my gosh, she shipwrecked her whole life because she was told she's going to marry somebody and never checked to see what's my spirit saying? What's God saying? Amen? Come on now. And so many people are looking for that. The devil can accommodate you with dreams. The devil can accommodate you. He can speak something to a minister and minister something wrong to you. Absolutely. That's why we put these safeguards in place, is that the Bible is that measure up with your own spirit. If not, just put it on the shelf, you know? And maybe it's for some other time, but maybe it's not for right now. Or maybe you know, no, that's not for me. Okay, get rid of it. We're just human vessels. We ain't imperfect. We're not perfect up here, you know what I mean? Hallelujah. And so why is that so dangerous? It's because that's what people look for. Because here's the problem with the inward witness. A dream is spectacular. I've had spiritual dreams before. Wow, it was like, that was, whew. I've had words spoke over me before in a service, called out in a service. That's pretty spectacular. I've had visions, not many, not like Brother Hagin, I'm trying to catch up to him. But I've had visions that have been God, that have lined up with the word. They were legit and they played out and they were exactly as I saw them. I've had those things, and those things are spectacular. And what does the spectacular do? It appeases the flesh. But the inward witness, there's really not much fireworks associated with the inward witness. It's not spectacular. And so people miss that leading and look for the spectacular and they get duped. Or they go with what their flesh and mind say. It's not spectacular, but let me tell you what the inward witness is of God on the inside communicating to our spirit, which then eventually what happens is the spirit will float that up and your mind will be enlightened eventually. But what's happening there? It's not spectacular, but it is certainly supernatural. And that's what you got to be careful. And people come out of different places and went to school of the prophets. Well, there you're disqualified in my mind right there. You know, the Bible doesn't say you become a prophet by going to a school. The Bible says God gave gifts unto men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. You don't go to school for these things. You're called to these things. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it's so important that we learn to follow this, but learn what he's not talking to us in. He's not talking to us through our flesh. Can he talk to us through a dream? Yes, but it will line up with the word and it will line up with what your spirit already knows. Have you ever had a dream where you wake up and you're like, well, I'll tell you, the dream that I had one time was, remember I told the story about having a dream that Jeff, the head usher in South Dayton, I had a dream that he died. Well, when I woke up from that dream, because I knew the dream was from God, I knew that much. But I misinterpreted it at first. I thought, oh boy, he's a goner. I thought he's just warning me. That's what I thought. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. Well, I need him. I'm going to help. And I started to get kind of down. And I was like, no, that's what my mind and my flesh are saying, but that's not jiving with what my spirit's saying. And so I spent time with God. No. In that dream also, what I realized and recognized, I saw in that dream what a loss it would be for me to lose him. To what? Make sure he knows how appreciative I am of him, of how thankful I am. And so I got it clear in my heart. So when I first told Jeff, his jaw hit the floor. I said, I just had a dream you died, sir. And of course, he's thinking, you know, it's over. Pastor's prophesying. This is game over, you know. I said, no, that's not what he's telling me. He wants you to know how important you are. And Jeff is still with us today. But there's a case where you can have a dream, you know. If it doesn't vibe with your spirit, okay, you had too much pizza, too much chocolate before bed. But here's the thing with a spiritual dream. You'll know that it's God. Number one, you'll know. It won't be a question. You won't have to wonder, do I have to figure that out or go to online, what is a dream mean? No, you'll know. You'll have the knowing. God's not the author of confusion. Amen? And then he'll show you what it means and what to do with that. Praise God. So let's go forward here. This stuff is, this will help you, keep you safe. So how many of you know the body and the mind have voices? What do you mean? Well, feelings are the voice of your body, and reasoning is the voice of your mind. But how many of you know your spirit also has a voice? So feelings are the voice of the body, reasoning is the voice of the mind. What's the voice of the spirit? Conscience. Your conscience is the voice of your spirit, learning to follow that conscience. Amen? Now, real quick, I'm going to show you some scriptures on conscience, but can the conscience of a human being be trusted? Yes, and only yes, if, and this is a huge if, they are born again. That's the only way as a Christian or a person that can trust what their conscience is saying fully when they're born again. What do you mean? Well, go to Hebrews 9 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. Look at this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, look at this, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. What's it saying there? The conscience of a person needs to be purged. Yeah, there's people that have an intuition and things, and it helps them at times, but to truly be able to trust it, it only can happen once you're born again, and then there's a purging. To what? Get the God in there, and the Word in there, to be able to trust then that conscience. I'll give you an example. Remember, I was a maid of honor in a wedding without the dress. It's important that I point that out. I know it's 2022, but I still want to point out that I didn't have a dress on, you know. And I was addicted to alcohol, and I had the privilege, you know, of when you're a maid of honor. Well, I'm the second star of the show. I mean, the star of the show is the bride, but then I'm the second star of the show, and I get to go to the bachelorette party. Well, I had just me and all these girls, which back then that was great, you know, for someone that had unrenewed mind and unrenewed flesh. Thought, this is wow, I hit the jackpot here. Who would have thought being a maid of honor could be so wonderful? But here's the problem: I got born again. Not the problem. The problem for my flesh and my mind. I got born again. And it was shortly after I got born again that this bachelorette party happened. Well, we went to a club, and that was the last night. I got born again January 10, 2002. I can't remember exactly when that bachelorette party was and that wedding, but it was shortly after. That was the last time your pastor has ever even sipped alcohol and been drunk. That's the last time. I don't even touch the stuff anymore. Because why? Because I can't even take a drink into the presence of God and have him okay it. There's just no way I could do it. I just know what my own spirit's saying, you know. And it's important, you know, don't try to bring your rights and privileges to him. What is the Holy Ghost saying about things? I'm talking anything. What does the Bible say? Not just sins, but lay aside weights and sins. Some things that people are considered can do aren't even sins. Well, it's not a sin. I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah, but if the Holy Spirit's telling you to lay that down, then you are sinning. Yeah. But anyways, it was the last time I was ever drunk. Now, prior to that night and being born again in that time, I mean, I was drunk all the time. Couldn't live without the stuff. Just constantly, with my way my mind was so messed up, to try to numb and just to escape reality, you know, constantly drunk. And just went about my life, never really thought a thing about it. But after this night, I get drunk, and now this feels different. Well, my conscience had been purged, and even the leading up to the drinking, yeah, heck yeah, beforehand, give me all the drink, I'll take them all, you know. Now I'm like, I'm apprehensive, and the whole time I'm feeling like icky when I'm doing it. Well, what happened? My conscience was purged. Spirit of God had come on the inside of me. My spirit was recreated. And now, what's my conscience telling me? You can't go to clubs anymore and drink and get drunk. You can't do this anymore. I said, oh, I don't like that feeling anymore. I don't want that. So I just laid that stuff down. But that's the difference so can my conscience be trusted once you're born again? Hallelujah. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 9 and verse 1. Remember, the conscience is what? The voice of the Spirit. Romans 9 and verse 1. I love this stuff. Oh, it can help you. It can help you, praise God. I mean, I don't know why I need to say this, but I'm just going to say it. I know it's not popular. Well, Paul told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. He did. But I'll tell you one thing. Culture was different. So was medicine. So was the wine back then. But I don't even need to get into all that. Is it okay to drink or not okay to drink? What's the Holy Ghost telling you? I'm telling you, I'm serious. I don't know why I'm saying this to someone. When I see people like Brother Hagin and Lester Summerall and Pastor Nancy and the way they talk about the stuff, and it lines up with my spirit, and I have my own verses, you know, I know it's clear cut. I'm not touching the stuff. It does me no good. What benefit do I get from it? And I would just say this to you before you, again, I'm not just saying alcohol, anything. God, are you okay with this? You say, is that really, can that really hold me back? All disobedience will hold you back from God's highest and best. You know what's amazing that I find? We don't have a dress code here. We don't have a dress code in my churches. We don't have a dress code in the family churches. But you know what I find? There could be people, and I was one of them, that come in, you know. For me, I'm a firm believer in my own spirit that I wear what I have best to the house of God. You know, if I were to go to a wedding, I'd dress up. If I were to go to a funeral, I'd dress up. If I were to go to the court, I'd dress up. Well, how much more for the house of God? For me, I'm not putting that yoke on you. But what I've found is that people will come in to the church and maybe present themselves a certain way. And the hungrier they get for God and the more they go to God, what's inside starts to show up on the outside. Well, what's happening? It's not that you can't dress a certain way and God love you. That's not the thing. It's not that, you understand what I'm saying? It's that God is telling those people, because I don't ever say anything about what to wear, what not to wear, this, that. I'm not here to put a yoke over anybody. Follow your own spirit, you know? But what you find is that, you know, for me, I couldn't walk into church with the same kind of clothes that I'd walk into at a beach picnic. I'm talking about taking my shirt off. God, Lord, we don't need that. But I'm just saying, if I had a t-shirt on and my flip-flops, I couldn't do that because of my... Now, is there scripture in the Bible that says, God won't love you? God, no, I'm not, and I don't preach that. But for me, the Spirit was saying no. The Spirit said no. I don't need a verse on alcohol. I have the Holy Ghost. I was talking to someone the other day. They were saying, can you tell me a verse about this and that? I said, I don't even need a verse on that. I already know what the Holy Spirit's telling me. The Holy Spirit's just as good as a verse because he's the voice of God. Amen? Man, there's some good utterance tonight for this stuff to help us. We don't want our way. We want his way. Hallelujah. Praise God. But Romans chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. What's he saying? My conscience and the Spirit are in line with one another. What's the conscience? It's the voice of your spirit. Acts 23 and verse 1. We're just going to hit a couple verses here. I'm glad I came tonight. Praise God. Acts 23:1. Say, Pastor Mike, you just rained on my parade. No. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to say, what is God saying to you about different things in life? Glory to God. You know, hunting's not wrong. But when God, it's not a sin, you know, but when God has told me throughout the years, okay, you need to dial it back. Well, if I don't dial it back, other people might be able to carry on with how they're doing it. But if I don't dial it back and he's talking to me, now I'm in disobedience. Now I'm in trouble, praise God. You get outside into disobedience, glory to God. Acts 23, and Paul earnestly beholding them, the council and men and brethren, I have lived in all a good conscience before God until this day. Go to 24 and verse 16. Talking about the conscience, the voice of the Spirit. And then I'm going to help to define this inward witness too. The only way I can explain it is, you ever look through a pair of binoculars? And, you know, there's maybe different things you're looking at. And so if there's a tree 70 yards away, the adjustment's going to be different than a tree that's 350 yards away. If you look at it, if you focus it in on that, it's not going to be focused in. And you can still kind of see what's there, but you got to hone it in, you know. That's what we're going to do here at the end of this to really help you with this inward witness. But Acts 24, 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and towards men. And then last but not least, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. The inward witness, learning to hear from heaven. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 19. Holding faith, look at this, and a good conscience. Do you see that? Wants his conscience to be clear, wants his conscience to be right, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. Ooh, there's fallout from it. Well, what I want to do now in the time we have left here is that inward witness. So the Spirit of God's telling our spirit something, and he's testifying. It's kind of like, well, that verse he says, he testifies that what? We are the children of God. I mean, there's times I don't have a Bible around me and life's happening, and you might not feel saved, or your thoughts are like telling you, is this really real? Like, I don't know if you're just me, but have you ever gotten a thought like, is this God thing really real? And my thoughts will say stuff, and my feelings can say stuff, but one thing, and this is where it's so important that you have to understand, the devil, he can mimic visions. He can put on a show with dreams. He can influence people to speak words and speak to your mind. The one thing the devil cannot imitate is the voice of the inward witness. He can't imitate that. Once you become skilled on that, that's where you're safe. Amen? Hallelujah. You're safe on that thing. And so what was I saying before that? There was something I was talking about. Does anyone remember? I got off into it and forgot. What? Yes, but it was something else that why I went off on talking about that voice of the inward witness. It'll come back to me anyways. Praise God. Go with me to Isaiah 55. I want to hone in on this. The voice of the inward witness. Learning to hear what God is saying. Picking out that out of the flesh, out of the mind, all that stuff. Isaiah 55. And even if it comes to me later, I'll send you a slick text. I'll just send it to you. Praise God. Isaiah 55. So how then that inward witness, what is the leading of that? How do we define it? How do we hone in on it? How do we focus in to know, well, what is that? It's very simple. It says in Isaiah 55, in verse 12, for you shall go out with joy. And look at this. And be led, there it is. Now remember, the Bible does not contradict itself. And for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and then what do we know the Spirit? Oh, that's what I was getting back to. Remember how I was saying my mind doesn't feel saved, body doesn't feel saved. But the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, the Spirit of God testifies to my spirit that I am saved. So it doesn't matter what my flesh feels or my mind feels, I always have that. And one scripture says it was given to us as a down payment. To show us, oh, it's legit. It's in there. So praise God. And so here it says, now we know Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, and then we see how he does it in verse 16. The Spirit testifies to our spirit. Here's your answer. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth. And now if you're just thinking what we were talking about tonight, you'd say led forth by the Holy Ghost and by the inward witness. But that's good and well, but it's unfocused. Now we're focusing in. What does it mean to be led by the inward witness? And you shall be led forth with peace. Amen. Peace. Go with me to Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. So how are we led by the Spirit? Yes, it's a conscience. The Spirit talks to the inward witness, the Holy Ghost we hear from. But how? Peace defined. It's defined through peace. Colossians 3 verse 15. Now, look at this. It says, and let the peace of God, now notice this, rule. What does rule mean? Take charge, have control. Where? In your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Kim Lai, would you help JJ pull that one up in the Amplified? Doing a great job back there, JJ. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:15. Led forth by peace. This verse will clear it up for you in the Amplified. And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. Now, I'm going to give to it in a story here in a second. It says, act as the umpire. Well, what do you know about a baseball umpire? It's a little different now with instant replay. But in olden days, they didn't have instant replay. And when the umpire said strike, it was a strike. When the umpire said ball, it was a ball. When the umpire said fair, it was fair. When the umpire said foul, it was foul. When the umpire said safe, safe. Out, you're out. And if you argued, what happened? You get kicked out of the game. You're out of here. Hallelujah. And so it says here, let the peace, the soul harmony that comes with Christ, act as an umpire in your heart. Doing what? Deciding. Now here's where the confusion gets cleared up. Deciding. So he's saying, let peace decide and settle with all finality. Let peace have the final word. All questions that arise in your minds. Well, isn't that what we struggle with? Should I? Shouldn't I? Oh my gosh, my mind's saying this. Is it God? Is it my flesh? Is it the Spirit of God? What is it? Well, what's it telling you to do? Let peace act as the umpire. Well, what is that peace? Other words that would help you to recognize that peace. A green light, right? That warm, when the opposite of is what? That scratchy. Oh, just when I was, God, I know I'm not supposed to be out here drinking at this club and, oh, I'm getting drunk. It's just that yucky feeling. There's no peace there. Intuition, right? Just that knowing. It says, let peace make the decision like an umpire. I was in the younger, you know, and I moved up in a higher division. And I think I was like 8 or 9. You think I'm small now? As an 8-year-old, just a little fella, you know, and I was playing against a 12-year-old who I'm convinced he went through puberty, had kids, and was married 3 times. I don't know. He's a giant. And his last name, to add to the intimidation, was Graves. That's where he wanted to put me. He was in the Graves. And so here he is, you know, at Little League. In Little League, the mound is only 45 inches away. And in Major League Baseball, it's, I think, 60 feet, 6 inches. That's quite a difference in speed. And that kid should have been, like I said, I think he came from the adult league. I think he had a mustache. 12. And so I was terrified to bat against him, you know, and get in there. And here it was the situation. We were down by 1 run, 2 outs. I believe there's only 6 innings in Little League. In the bottom of the 6th inning, we had a runner on 2nd base and a runner on 3rd base. 2 outs. I coming up to bat, down by 1. So if I get a base hit, the runner from 3rd is going to score, the runner from 2nd is going to score, and we win the game. And I'm stepping into that plate, and he threw so fast. And so I'm up there ready to hit. I don't remember which pitch it was, and he threw me one, and I was behind on the swing. And when you're behind, that means the ball's on top of you, and you're swinging too late. And a lot of times when you swing late, the ball will go to the right field. Whereas if you're ahead of the ball, it goes to left field, or right on it goes to center. But I was way behind. I'd never seen anything like that before. And his name's Graves, and he has a beard. I can't stop looking at his beard. And I hear it in the stands, "Go, Daddy!" What? Of course, I'm being facetious here, but that's what it felt like. And so I'm up there, and he throws, and I'm behind on it, and I hit a line drive right down first baseline, and the ball goes right over the bag and lands clearly in fair territory. It wasn't just my preconceived idea. It was clear. The bench and the crowd just erupted. This little 9-year-old just hit off this kid and won the game. And the umpire's got his arms up. He's yelling, "Foul! Foul!" Well, there's no instant replay in Frewsburg Little League. I mean, instant replay, I mean, they're letting married men play in the 12-year-old league. I mean, think they're going to spend the money on instant replay? No. And it was so clear, so clear. But that umpire said foul. And you know what that taught me with peace? No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what you even think, when peace tells you to do something, that is your marching order. Even though the ump was wrong, peace will never be wrong. But the point was, it didn't matter what I saw. Didn't matter what I thought. Didn't matter what I felt in that moment, right? The ump said it. And that's what the Bible's telling you, that peace is to be like the umpire, where they, if peace says, yes, do that with your money, even though your checkbook says no, you go with peace. Or don't do that with your money. Yeah, but my flesh really wants that. No, but peace is saying no, then you don't do it. Or I don't want to go there, that seems hard, but peace is saying it, right? That's how you stay safe. That's how you hear from God. Of course, I had to get back in the batter's box, you know. Next pitch, this guy said, I'm not messing around with this kid anymore. He threw a fastball and beamed me right behind the stinking arm. And I cried and cried as I was running down to first base. It hurt so bad. I had a welt, you know, and we ended up losing that game. He struck the next kid out. But the umpire, amen, the umpire. And I think of so many stories, just give me 5 more minutes. I think so many things where I didn't know what to do, had no idea what to do, brought it before God, learned how to, and as we go forward, we're going to learn to put ourselves in the right position to make that voice loud and clear in our spirits, amen? And how many situations where I didn't know what to do, I had no idea, I had no, didn't know the answer. And one of the best ones I tell, because it might not mean much to you, but some of my best friends are Daniel and Jonas Burkholder, my Amish friends, that I'd always had a desire to be friends with the Amish and to hunt in the Midwest. And also, it's a big thing for me when people come work on my house. Trust is so huge for me, you know. I'll pay more for someone I can trust and is excellent, you know, and it's not ripping me off. And the relationship that I have with Daniel, who does the archery shop, and the relationship I have with his brother Jonas, not only as friends, but in business with buying equipment and things, but also Jonas has done so many things in my house that are so skilled, and he's so excellent, and it's just been such a blessing, and becoming friends with all of them. It all started when, you know I'm a big hunter. You know that I'm big into this, that it means something to me. It's a passion for me. And the guy that used to do my archery equipment and service my bow and set things up, he had a shop in Sugar Grove, Pennsylvania. Well, he closed down. And so I needed to find a new place to go. Well, I was just going to go to the hunting store that was down the road. It's a great hunting store. I still buy lots of things from them. And a lot of people get their bows serviced there. And that's where I was going to go. But I just had this check. And then I had heard someone talking about where they went. And a friend from another church that had brought their bow to this Amish place in Panama, right between Panama and Clymer, New York. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It was stereotypical and it was wrong. I had to get my thinking. I had stereotypes about different things. Like, no, I don't want to bring my equipment there. I don't. First of all, I was like, how am I ever going to get a hold of them? Well, come to find out, the phone isn't the devil in the Amish community. I guess they have them, you know. It just got to be in a certain place. And so I thought, how am I going to hold them? I just had all these preconceived ideas of how it was going to be. And so I wasn't going to go there. I was going to go where I could just drive down the road, talk to these people anytime. They have set business hours. This archery shop had certain days a week. They're not there, and they're doing other things, and just wasn't what I was down with. And so I was, and they said they're going there, and I thought, no, I'm never. I am never going to go to that place. I'm going to go to this place, and I'm just, it appeases my mind more. And I had that scratch. That's the bad way of it, right? It's not where it doesn't feel like honey in there. It doesn't feel like that warm feeling. It doesn't feel like that green light's more of a yellowish red light. Stop. You just feel the uneasiness, right? The scratching. And so I started to think on, well, should I go here? Is this where I should go? Was that a blessing that I heard that this person went there? And it, because I didn't know about the place, and it enlightened me. And my mind did not want to go. My flesh did not want to go. But I had such peace of going there. And I walked into the archery shop the first day I was there. And this literally is the truth. I walked through the door. And instantly I had a knowledge. I will never go anywhere else for the rest of my life as long as they have this. I didn't even meet the person yet. I had a knowing from the Holy Ghost. And it was like, that's so simple. But here's something God had prepared for me. A relationship. Someone to come into my home that I would trust with my life, my kids' lives, my family's lives, come in and do that stuff. Someone that has invited me to go hunt with them the biggest deer and fulfill a dream for me, all came from the following of the Holy Spirit, the inward witness. No great revelation, just someone knowing how to tune in. I walked into what God had prepared for me. Just think of all things God has prepared for you, but you're going to have to get into it with this. Amen? So we'll pick this up the next time and we'll go forward. Just keep going forward with this series. But let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, may this be ingrained in every single person. Father, may this be, their eyes be open to all this. Father, that they would not just let this go in one ear out the other, but that they would take advantage of this and that they would learn, because there's some wonderful things that they'll miss out on if they don't learn this stuff, because that's how you're getting us into, by the Spirit of God. You're not changing your ways for us. We change our ways for you. That's how it works. And so if we got to learn, we got to learn. I just know this, Father. There's many, many people I've been associated with through the years that loved you, that are in heaven, that just were so sold out to you, were in love with you, just served you, and they didn't know anything about this, Father. And as I look at their life, I see so many things that could have been different, but they just didn't know. But Father, we don't have to claim that we don't know. We know now, and so we're learning, so help us, Father. But if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes, as I look around the room, I'm pretty convinced, you know, that all of us in here have received Jesus. But if you're watching online and you say, I don't know if I'll go to heaven, well, Jesus is the measuring stick. Church attendance isn't good works, bad works, you know, finances, not giving, giving. That's not how you get into heaven. It's what you do with Jesus. And the Bible says there's two things that you must do with him. Number one, you must believe in him. And again, it doesn't come from your head. It doesn't come from your flesh. It comes from your heart. Deep in your heart, you could say, you know what? I can't explain all this. I don't get it all, but I know for some reason he was real. There's something that testifies in there that he was real. You know, there's that enlightenment's in there. That's number one. But then the Bible says you must call on his name. Jesus said in Romans 10:13 through the Apostle Paul, he said, if you call on my name, you'll be saved. Well, when you believe it, the next natural thing to do would be to call on his name. He doesn't bust the door down and barge his way in. He's not the SWAT team. He's not a thief. He's a gentleman. He's waiting for an invite. So if you're watching online, say, I don't know if I go to heaven. Jesus said, without me, you can't go to heaven. And so all you have to do when this service ends is cry out to him and say, I believe in you, Jesus, and I ask you to come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I call on your name. If you'll do that and mean it, he'll do what he said. And if you're someone that says, Pastor, I've been taught different. I'm confused. I don't understand. Email me. The email address is there. The phone number's there. Call me. Reach out to me. We'll talk. I'll show you what you need to do through the Bible. Not my opinion, not a church's opinion. What does the Bible say? It's just so simple. But Father, we love you tonight. We're going to go ahead at this time, and we're going to take up communion, praise God. This is a time of worship. And brothers, you can just come forward, and we'll put that song on in a second. But this is not a time of fellowship or, you know, let your mind wander. No, turn your attention towards him. Just come on up and go ahead and put that song on and just be in an attitude of praise and worship. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We just love you so much. We're lost without you. Where would I be without you, Lord? Where would I be without you? Praise your name. Yes, Jesus. So much. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, do in remembrance of me. Let's break the bread and let's eat it. Father, we recognize that Jesus' body had endured so much. By his wounds, we are healed. We thank you, Lord, for what you did, what you went through, what you endured, what you suffered for our behalf. We don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. We don't belittle it. We don't count it a small thing. It's a great thing, and we just thank you so much for it. And verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you drink or eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till it comes. Let's go ahead and drink it. And Father, we also know that the juice represents the blood. And where would we be without the blood? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood that cleanses us, that washes us white as snow, without spot, without blemish. I just praise you and magnify you. I glorify you and just worship you tonight. Thank you so much. Let's just stand to our feet and worship him. Let's give him reverence. The King is here, praise God. Jesus, 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 we love you. We love you, we love you, we praise you and magnify you, we glorify you. Hallelujah. Jake, I just want to impart the anointing into your body if you'd come forward, and actually you just can just stay right by the chair. Just go ahead and just have a seat right there. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. The anointing is tangible, the anointing is real. Father, you spoke some things. You said faster than expected and stronger than ever. And so, Father, I thank you as I lay hands on him. Your anointing, your power will go through him, causing those two things that you spoke to us to come to pass. Anything in his body that is off and needs to be made right, anything at all from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Father, we just thank you for that anointing. Yeah, we just thank you for that anointing from the top to the bottom. We thank you for his life, for his family. Just praise you. Let's just worship him and thank you, Lord. We magnify you, Father. We bless you and honor you. We glorify you. Thank you, Father. So good. Jake, you just say that anointing is in me. That anointing is in me, causing it to be faster than expected. Make me stronger than before. Praise God. Or stronger than ever before. We praise you, Father. We bless you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you run out of here, just real quick, if you have an emergency, something that's an emergency or pressing, please. I'm not going to be able to stay for fellowship tonight. I do have to leave right after service, which isn't a normal thing for me, but I do tonight. And so if you do need something and it can wait, just reach out to me this week or shoot me a text message. I'll get back to you. But if it's something pressing, please come forward. But that's why I'm not in fellowship. It's not because it smelled like it was burning in here earlier. It's not because I'm anti-meatloaf. It's one of my favorite things. So I love you all and appreciate you so much. Thank you all for the serving down there. Father, bless the food tonight. We just thank you. Take away sickness from the midst of us. You bless our bread and our water, Father. Thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you'll do. I just pray that you bless these precious people. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. Glory to God.